How we come here for one reason, of course, that is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that we don't come here to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, as to praise Him. The Bible said, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And that's what we try to do. When you come here to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. In John, in the 4th chapter, Jesus talked with a woman at the well and informed her that they that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. And one of the things that's lacking in the church today is worshiping God in spirit. We do worship the Lord. We worship the Lord in song. We worship Him with the Bible speaks of all the string instruments and the different things by which we worship the Lord. And we do worship God with the string instruments. We worship Him with our voice. We worship Him in many ways. But, you know, that's one thing. Paul said, I will sing with my understanding. But then there's another thing. He said, I will pray in the Spirit. So then there is worshiping God in spirit, and then there's worshiping God with your understanding. There's doing things for God with your understanding, and then there's doing things for God in the Spirit. Whereas the Bible says that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So then to walk in the Spirit, the Bible said if you live in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. Just to live in the Spirit, that's one thing, but it says then if you live in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. I might say, you know, I'm born to the Spirit, and that's good, because we have to be born to the Spirit. And the Bible said if you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. But if you do have His Spirit, then the proof of that is that the spiritual gifts will be in your life and the fruits of the Spirit will be in your life. And that in these things that you will be blessed to where people can see your light. And you will be walking in the Spirit if you're born of the Spirit and if you have His Spirit. So then he said to the woman at the well, those that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. Now they didn't know much about that until Jesus came along and talked to that woman. Because, you know, they were talking about worshiping Him in the mountains. They had worshiped Him in many ways by offering up animals, all kind of things. But He said, the time is coming and now is. The time is coming and now is. That is, the time is coming when I'm going to die at Calvary. The Spirit's going to come back and it's just going to be the Spirit and I'm not going to be here in a human body, He was saying. But He said, really, it now is, because God is here in my body. And I'm introducing now the new way of life, for now has come the kingdom of God. Before, the kingdom of God had not come. It had not come before Jesus came. But when Jesus came, then came the kingdom of God. So the Bible said the law and the prophets were until John, and since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. And men pressed their way into the kingdom of God. And so then, since the days of Christ Jesus is coming, a new thing has broken forth. And like when we was praying that time in travail and trying to preach, work on the boats, fasting and all this kind of things. And that night, I remind you once again, as we prayed, all of a sudden we had a vision where we were in a travail and was bringing forth a child. And was travailing, and then doing this travail, I remember that song, how that the song came, a new highway to glory. I didn't know what it was. The melody came, and I didn't know what it was. And I kept humming it in my soul. I could hear the melody of it. It was so beautiful, you know. And then all of a sudden, I came out of it, and I thought, well, what is that? I remember that song from somewhere. And then God began to speak to me about a hillside so lonely was Jesus one day. And then He began to speak to me where a new day has broken. in old Gethsemane, and the mornings now come singing the songs of victory. For there is a new highway to glory. It's the one the Savior walked or trod, and with the halo, we're traveling the highway to God. So then, it is a true fact that comes Calvary, comes the kingdom of God, comes the wonderful blessings of Christ, and we do find ourselves walking the same pathway that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ walked. So then it means that now we have the kingdom of God. It's not a matter of waiting on the kingdom of God, nor is it a matter of entering into the kingdom of God. It's not a matter of whether we can have the kingdom of God or not. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God has been here since the days of John. It is now in the world. It's now in the earth. And yet it's not in the world in the sense that there's another dimension. But it's in the world as to the way we think, because it's in us. And we're in the world the way we think. And yet we're not in the world, for God has chosen us out of the world and hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restitution or the restoring of all things, or what that really means, until the time that he changes our body from the vile, wretched image of the fallen one and the fallen nature that it took on when it lost the image in which it was made. The Bible said, you're shapen in iniquity, and iniquity did your mother conceive you. And therefore, taking on another nature through the fall, you lost your original image in which you were made as the Shekinah glory of which emanated from our Father, our Heavenly Father, or Christ Jesus in which you were made. And you took on the nature of the fallen one as to a nature to bring forth an image of iniquity that God has despised, because all flesh of that image hath corrupted its way before God, and the sentence of death is in that body. And the Bible teaches that it is a body that has the sentence of death within it. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body, or this body of death? Said the body has to die because of sin. Or that is the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And the sentence of death is in that body, and therefore that body must die because of that sentence of death and because of sin, to free the inter-angelic being from that body of death, and to give that angelic inter-man a new body to where it can bear the image of the heavenly, which is the resurrected Jesus Christ, the second man Adam, who was made a quickening spirit. For the first man Adam, a living soul, and we have borne his image as to that of the earthly, that is to say, of the dust unto the dust. But now we have that which said, I am not of this world, I came from heaven, I go back to heaven. So then we bear then the image of the heavenly by the foreknowledge and election of God, and then we don't become partakers of it until the change at the end of the church ages. But we are partakers of the kingdom of God as the inter-angelic being, having been translated into the kingdom of God, which is the Spirit of Christ inwardly. So we have the interwoven as the safeguard within the garment, and we are sealed to where Satan can never touch us. We keep ourselves in Christ, and the evil one touches us not, that we're like a touch-me-not, that is, without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. So the sinner man is transformating from glory to glory, and Christ is the hope of that glory. And that wonderful glory that shall be made manifest in your mortal genes to the change. So we are changing, and we will bear the image of the heavenly. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. For he will appear in his glorified body, and we will appear in glory with him. So then it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian, and wonderful to know that since Calvary, the kingdom of God has now come, and God said, now, let my will be done in earth as in heaven, or let my will be done in your life. For Jesus always prayed, Father, not my will be done, but thy will. So then let God's will be done in your life, even as God's will is done in heaven. That is to say, let that will be done in your body the same as it is done in your spirit. Subdue the body Bring the body under subjection. Bring every thought in subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have self-denial and make the body conform to your angelic spiritual being on the inside after that angelic being has transformated into the mind of Christ. This body belongs to you and your mind through Adam, but you lost it through sin and death. Sin and death were one man. Now, you have regained a new life, but this time it is the body of Christ. And therefore, the body of Christ wants the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ wants the body of Christ. And he wants his body just as your mind wants your body. Now then, we owe it to him. We are bought with a price. And our minds now must be the mind of Christ to give this body fully to the mind of Christ because it's the body of Christ. And that is his will to be done within our body, that this heavenly treasure, which we now have in our earthly beings, shall be made manifest in our mortal genes to change us into the celestial body of the eternal one that you don't have to put in a grave. So this is where we're headed. This is what we're working for. That's why we preach the revelation. This wonderful revelation, Paul said, was the mystery of God that was hid from the foundation of the world. It is now made known to mankind. But he said it never was made known to mankind until Calvary, when Jesus came and rent the veil and brought this wonderful kingdom of God to us. And we now have it in the earth. Thy kingdom come. Now let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, when we think about this and we realize that we're running so far behind with the things of the kingdom of God and so far behind in our development, we really feel ashamed. When we look around and we see the institutions of the world, the colleges and the schools and whatever it might be, and we see how that they have so excelled that great, brilliant men like Einstein and others have searched out the heavens. And then we realize the Bible said the heavens declare his handiwork as to Christ, and the earth is full of his knowledge. And then we wonder what we've been doing, and we wonder why that allegoric side of it has made such a progress and been so progressive in what it's doing that we've been so far behind. But when we consider the time that we spend in study and the time we spend in prayer and the time we spend in trying to develop into the things of God, and then we consider the time that they give to it from early morning till evening, even the children in school and then the college students, and that they keep their minds on that all the time of studying and doing those things, then we realize why that we run so far behind and why they're so far out ahead. So then the Bible said the children of this world are wiser in their ways than the children of light. Not that they are wiser than the children of light, but they're wiser in their ways in the sense that they give themselves to the things that they want and they make that a goal and they go after those things. Whereas the children of light are very careless a lot of times and they don't make any drive to set any real goals to obtain any certain place. They just drift along and whatever comes, that's all right. Whatever goes, that's all right. And then they hope to get there and they trust the luck that everything's going to work out right. But folks, you can't do that. Let me tell you, this is just kind of off the record, as we say, just to say something here. But you can't go around sitting around watching the movies on TV. Going to the ball games or enjoying them on TV. Or smoking your cigarettes or drinking your booze or bubbling in your beer or going around flirting with women or men and doing the things of the world and be a Christian. Somebody say amen. Those things are of the devil, and people that do those things are not born again. Somebody say amen. It's time that you cried out in the world and told the thing like it is. Somebody says, tell it like it is. If that's not like it is, let somebody stand up and tell me. If it is like it is, then say amen. All right. God bless you. All right, so then that's kind of off the record, as you would say, as far as following the theme here, but I purpose in my heart this morning that we need to get some things straight. So when we see this beautiful thing that our Father has done, this wonderful, glorious thing that Christ has done for us, do you have the kingdom of God? Of course you have the kingdom of God. You know, like one of our brothers a few days ago was talking to a man that's supposed to be a preacher. He says he's a preacher. And the man was a little bit confused. That is our brother. He said that he talked to the man about being in heaven. Said, we're in heaven. But said the man couldn't get a hold of that. And said the man come back at him with this thought. If we're in heaven, where is the streets of gold? Well, then of course the brother didn't know how to answer him. But see what it is, people don't understand. If they did understand, then they would be Christians. They don't understand. And understanding is a tree of life. If they understood, then they'd have eternal life. Because understanding is a tree of life. But they don't understand. The Bible said that they are in ignorance. And Paul said, when I have you ignorant, so then they are in darkness. They are in ignorance by the darkness within them. And they never see the light. And the Bible said they never come to the light. So then, children of God, it means that we misunderstand if we're not spiritual. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual, that you should think spiritual. You should understand spiritually. And in doing this, then you come to know what God is saying. So then, what do we have to say about things like that? First of all, we have to learn to differentiate between the body and the spirit. That's the first thing that we have to learn to do. As long as we are praying in our understanding, that's different altogether from praying in the spirit. As long as we're walking in our understanding, that's different altogether from walking in the spirit. As long as we're doing things in the world as to the natural understanding, it's altogether different from being in the mind of God. There's three minds, and one of those minds is the devil's mind. One of those minds is your mind, and one of those minds is God's mind. And I remind you again that all three of those minds have but one brain to use, and every one of them uses the same brain. And the two, as to the extremes of God and of Satan, has to use your brain, but they have to work through your spirit to use your brain. And in so doing, whichever one that you yield your spirit to, that's the one that will possess your body. And through your spirit, there is a dispute over this body, because this body was made for God and made for the abundance of life. And Satan stole this body and has brought death and inbred death within the body. And now the sentence of death is within the body. Corruption is within the body. Sin is within the body. All these evil things are within the body. Lust and covetousness, hatred and malice, sorrow, evil surmising. All of these things are in the body. Why? Because the dispute is over the body, and those two spirits are fighting over that body. That's what Calvary was about. When Jesus met Satan face to face as to the dispute over the body, the Lord Jesus won out in the dispute. And today, because he won out, my body belongs to Christ Jesus. Your body as a Christian belongs to Christ Jesus, because he won out over it. And he said, this is bone of my bone, and this is flesh of my flesh, and you have no right to touch it. This is property upon which you shall not trespass. You dare not touch this body, because it's without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish. And the old body of Adam that you had control of has passed away. And there's no remembrance of former things. And this is that I nailed to the tree. I've delivered these people from that body of death. And I nailed that body to the tree. And now this body that I brought out of the earth is this great, wonderful, mighty body of the resurrection. And they're bearing bearing the image of this heavenly in my foreknowledge until they change into this and it appears that this is what they are, because on the inside their angelic being has been translated into my angelic being and they're one with me and they will have the royal blood flowing through them and they will have the royal flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone from that royal blood or that new blood cell. So you are the family of the living God. There's no remembrance of former things. Former things have passed away. All things have passed away as to what you was in your first birth. Even the world passed away. If we had time to go into the revelation and time to detail it, which would take hours to do that, then I could show you that all of the world passed away. Everything passed away. You passed away. Nothing is left. Only this wonderful body of Christ and this new world. Now you are a new creature in a new world, and behold, all things are new unto you. You're the apple of God's eye. You are the prize of God's eye. You are His very body and bone and flesh. You are His very son. You are the sons of God. Now, beloved, are ye the sons of God? So it doth not yet appear what ye shall be as to looking at one another, the appearance. But we know that when He appears in the heavens, we shall be like Him, for He is our body. And we shall see Him as He is. And that is our body and bone and flesh. And it's reserved there until the change, that we might be partakers of that wonderful, glorious Christ. So then we do know that the kingdom of God is here. We do know that we already have the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. And sure enough, He gave us the kingdom. And today we have the kingdom. And now you pass from death unto life. You've already passed from death unto life. You know, I say this a lot of times, trying to get over my thoughts to where we can understand. We hear the preacher preach these things, but somehow there's not a conception. We don't conceive of these things. The Bible said, give the earnest heed to these things. Listen, any time you should let them slip, and take heed how that you hear these things, lest Satan as the prince of the air should misconstrue them to your mind. And I say a lot of times, I say, folks, why do you fear a judgment? Why are you waiting for a judgment? First of all, why do you fear the flames of hell? Why do you fear going to hell? Or why do you fear the flames of hell? When Jesus emphatically stated upon this rock, speaking of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That body walked through the flames of hell so that you would never go to hell, and that hell would never have any power over your body, because you are now His beloved body. And you are the raiment that Jesus spoke of, tried in the fire. Bring me raiment that's tried in the fire. Don't bring me that old moth-eaten garment of the first man Adam, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Bring me that garment that's been tried in the fire. As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So then, when we think of this, the Lord of heaven was that rock. God, the great eternal Father, took one look at Him and said, He is a rock. Who is a rock but our God? He is a rock. Though they take the blood out of His veins, and though they put the thorns in His brow, though they plow His back like a field, though He walks through the flames of hell, though the terrors of night comes upon Him, He'll never flinch. He's a rock. He'll never give. He's the Word made flesh. He is God personified. Never changes to any generation. The same yesterday, today, and forever. So then we know that He is the rock. Upon this rock I build my church. Even the Word of the living God. You've got it in your heart. You got this Christ in your heart. And nothing can move you. And He is the power over all the powers of the enemy. That wonderful Holy Ghost God, that word, that spirit word, the Bible said, behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you or hurt you. Oh, that is to say, Christ is the power over all the powers of the enemy. He trampled over all of them and triumphed over all of them because he is that power. And you now have him interwoven with your being on the inside. So this world, as we look at it, we have to consider it like this, that there is a world of flesh. There is a world of the human being. There is a world that is of beast. And then there is an angelic world. And the Bible said God created the heavens, and God created the earth, and God created the seas. And in that sea, there is a potentiality of life. And the species of the waters, even the great mighty species, as to the whales and whatever they might be found in the deep depths of the ocean, they feed upon that which is in the water because it has the proper elements to nourish them. And that's their life. And they're made relative to that. But then there are also the fowls of the heavens, for he created the heavens. And in the heavens, there is something there also. For the birds, the fowls, naturally speaking, and they feed upon that because that's their life. But then in the earth, there are the beasts, and they feed upon the potentials that he made them from, even the dust. As the waters come up from the water tables and the sun draws it up, it picks up the elements of the earth, and it comes into the trees for sap, and it forms itself as to the form of oranges or apples or whatever it might be, as to fruits or whatever the potentials might be. And when the nitrogen falls from the heavens, as the lightning and the thunder rolls, and then it comes into these plants, and you are furbished and refurbished with these things because you're made of the dust, and it feeds you. And you feed from these things, and it's the potential of your body. That's what composes you. That's what keeps you together. That's what nourishes you. So then the beasts are there, but there's one thing that's missing. We are down here in this world, and we are not of this world. We're not of this world. There must be another world somewhere. You know, the Bible said because the angels kept not their first estate, God became angry and made hell for the devil and his angels, and he did not make it for mankind. But because mankind will let the devils into him and he becomes an angelic devil on the inside, he is charged with an angelic act. And because of that, he is no longer considered a human being. And then he is charged with an angelic act of coming to the knowledge of what's right and wrong. And it's not a sin of the body that God died for, as to nail Jesus to Calvary, to do away with sinful flesh, in that man was not guilty because that thing he could not help through the fall. He was like an innocent child. He didn't know. But in that, when we come to the angelic realms of knowing, the tree of knowledge, and we come to that we know right and wrong, then we move into an angelic realm, and it's our angelic being on the inside that's doing it. It's no longer the flesh. God can no longer overlook it. We have moved from the realms of the beast, and we've moved into the realms of the angelic, and we're now charged with that of the angelic, so we must go into hell, because the place called hell was made for the devil and his angels. And it's not that God puts anybody into hell, but when you come into those angelic realms, then you have stepped in with the devil, and you've become a devil. I've chose 12, and one of you is a devil, Jesus said. So you become a devil. But you know, you can give your spirit to Christ, and you can become a wonderful angelic being of the righteous angels. For the Bible teaches in heaven we are as the angels, that is, in the spirit. Or as it said, Peter's angel. Or it spoke of the little child saying, and their angel doth always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven.
So then this angelic world is separate from your bodily world. And the bodily world has been condemned and taken to Calvary. For the Bible said God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. For the world was condemned already because of sin. But he sent him into the world to save the world. But there's one thing he did do. He condemned sin in the flesh. For God sent his son to condemn sin in the flesh. And therefore, being a human being and sin coming by one human body, God chose one human body to condemn sin and done away with sin and death by one human body and took it all away so that your angelic innermost being might be free from your outer cocoon of this bodily beast. After that, the bodily beast, as to a cocoon, has done its job to bring about the shape as to mold you into the wonderful image of our Heavenly Father from which you fell in the garden. To restore that by bringing forth the inner light of the day star dawning within you through the transformation of the mind to bring you to a full stature of the full man, of the full reward, even Christ Jesus. Saying, gone to the full measure of the full stature. So then we realize that we have to differentiate between the body and the spirit. When we do this, we realize then that this is an angelic thing and that it is hid from the eyes of the intellectuals and that of the beast realm. And it's hid from this lower plane of living and put on a higher plane to where the Bible said their thoughts or his thoughts is higher above our thoughts than the heavens is the earth. As to the man's thought and the beast's thoughts, the angelic thoughts are way up here and this man can never even touch them. He never gets anywhere near that. That's another world. See, but we that are angelic are translated into that world, even into Christ's spirit, and we enter into that world and have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. And so then Jesus said, all things that my Father hath made known unto me, I have made known unto you. And so then this wonderful mind of Christ Jesus is put in us, or the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So then we know that differentiating between the two worlds, that one is the Adam image, and in Adam all die. We know that one is in the fall and caught in the environment of intellectual darkness. And then we know that one is a child of light but new birth, and that angelic being has escaped the cocoon of darkness. And the cocoon of darkness has been killed at Calvary and destroyed and buried in a watery grave. And that we have now put on the image of the second man, Adam, or the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're now they that dwell in the presence of our God, which is heaven itself. And so then we find ourselves to the foreknowledge of God dwelling in heaven, and though we've not made the change in the body, yet we're preordained to make the change because we have made the change in our inter-angelic spirit and are just now transformating through our schooling to come to the ultimatum of the mind of the revelation that this potentiality from Christ, the kingdom within us, should be released through that transformated mind into our bodily tissues. For the Bible said this heavenly treasure must be made manifest in our mortal genes, and so we release it into it that it might change our bodily genes into the celestial body of the eternal one to where we never have to be put in a grave. So when we differentiate between it, we see that God has hid these things from the wise and the prudent. He hath made this an invisible work. He hath made you an invisible person. He is called the invisible God, whom we worship with our spirit and mind. So this is a great invisible work that God is doing with an invisible you, by an invisible God, so that nobody can see it, nobody can touch it, nobody can put a monopoly on it, nobody can charge for it, that when this is completely done, being hid from the eyes of Lucifer, them being powers of darkness, they cannot see this. The Bible said the angels desire to look into this. Speaking of the fallen angels, they desire to look into this, but they cannot see this. So then that means that you are an invisible force of power, a church, a great mighty body, a world. And this thing is going on right in the midst of this world and right in the midst of the brilliance and right in the midst of all of this, all that's great knowledge, and right in the midst of all of this money power and all of this lust and covetousness, and right in the midst of Satan and his kingdom, and they know nothing about it. Neither can they touch it. Neither can they understand it. It's not even given to them to understand. They can't understand any of it. No matter if they study all the time, day and night, they never run across this path. They never understand any of it with all of their brilliance. They still are considered by God ignorant people. So then you see what God has done for you, and he's hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent, made it revelations to babes or those that will learn. So when we understand that God has done this, then we differentiate between the beast and between the angelic ones, or between the body. For in your body you are a beast. You're born to beast. You come into the world as a beast. You're through Adam the fallen one. You of the image of iniquity. You're despised. You're rejected. You must be killed. There's sentence of death in your body, and it has corrupted its way. All flesh, none good. No, not one. And the Bible said even the sin that is brought because of the law, the Bible says, then this is wrought all manner of concupiscence within me. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So then you should be trying to get out of that body of death. You should be struggling to get out of that body of death. Instead of putting it up, instead of painting the faces, instead of lusting and going on after the world, instead of trying to have the great mighty wealth of the world and the great mighty diplomacies of the world, you should be putting that thing down and putting your foot on the head of that intellectual serpent and trying to get out of that body of lust and that image of death, and be trying to get to the body of Christ and trying to transform it in your mind into the wonderful knowledge of the mind of the Lord Jesus. So that's what we're supposed to do. Come out of the world. Be ye separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. So when we understand the great mighty thing that God has done for us, then we see that this beautiful angelic world, this separated world, this different world, this power, this majesty that's being revealed from heaven, that everyone doesn't have this. Everyone doesn't have this. You know, you can say to somebody, say, do you know that you have the kingdom of God? Someone would say, well, of course I know that. That's what the Bible teaches. And they'll say, I know that. That's what you said. I've got ears. I can hear. But then they know nothing about it. All they're doing is talking. But folks, has it ever occurred with you or to you that if I put the world within you, the whole world within you, what that would be? Or if I took the world out of you and I put the kingdom of heaven within you, the whole kingdom of heaven, what that would be? Has that ever occurred to you? What that would be? Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, you must be a fanatic. There's no way you could do that. But nevertheless, Jesus did that. I don't know. You say, how does he do that? Well, let me ask you a question. He said, blind guides that strain at a net and swallow a camel. How do they do that? How does a man swallow a camel? You explain that to me, then I explain this to you. So then it's just that which is impossible with men, it's possible with God. He has literally took the world, it said. And the Bible said he hath placed within you, that is you people of the world. He hath placed within you the world. How did he do it? Through the tree of knowledge by the spirit of Satan, because he savors the things that be of the world. He went right into your blood genetics, into your heart, right into your blood genes, and he lives there. He is the world of iniquity and the world of darkness, and this is his world, and all that's in this world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes, and all of this world must pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. But when you're born again, he takes that angelic being Lucifer out of you. And he puts within you the angelic being of Christ. From the angelic being of Christ emanates everything, whether it be natural, spiritual, or whatever it is. It all emanated from God. There was nothing, and God said, let there be, and it came to be. So everything emanates from Christ. And when you have Christ on the inside of you, you have all of eternity, all of heaven, all power, all heaven and earth. You literally have the kingdom of heaven within you. Someone says, where is the streets of gold? Right in there in the kingdom. Right there, and so are the gates of pearl. It's a great spiritual mystery, but it's right there in you, folks. This great, wonderful thing is on the inside of you. This wonderful thing God has done for you, and it's all on the inside of you. And that's why Paul said, I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest after I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. So then when we talk to you about these few little things and exhort you about these few little things, I'm trying to remind you that this is a very detrimental hour. You must get these things. If you don't get these things, you're going to go through tribulation. A lot of you are not going to be, perhaps, like it has been with other generations. There's a good possibility that in these generations that are now coming, that tribulation is coming. And that you're not going to be able to just to die out, but that you're actually going into those things that tribulation is bringing. And the Bible said they're so horrible that you should pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the world. It's going to be so horrible. So that it's going to be tribulation such as the world has never known. So then with the death of Ravine and these things that's happening right here, at these last few moments, it's very obvious that everything is on its way. I believe that that was the thing concerning the tribulation period, making way for it. And if I had time this morning, we would elaborate on it. But trying to get across these few thoughts, I don't have time to get into that. But I want you to know that if you're ever going to get right with God, and if you're ever going to get a hold of the things of God, and if you're ever going to get on one side, either the beast's side or the angelic side, you need to get started. You need to get started, because if you're in the beast realms, then you're going to be under the powers of the beast. If you are in the angelic realm of God, you're going to be under the auspices of our Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever you do, it's up to you. It's a sovereignty, though it's a predestination. But predestination is by foreknowledge. And foreknowledge, it is according to election. And election is according to your sovereignty of what God foresaw through the foreknowledge to predetermine where you was going. Selvin, you need to think these things over. I guess that's about all I'd say. There's a lot of things I'd like to say, but I know that I got here, according to your understanding, late, so I know you're ready to go. But nevertheless, these things are going to become more important to you and more important to you. But what's going to happen is you're going to turn and look and going to find out that you don't have them. As sure as you live in this world, you're going to turn and you're going to say, my God, I heard those things, and I thought I had those things, but I didn't rehearse those things in my heart, and I really didn't conceive of those things, and I can tell that I'm not changing in mind to those things. I'm not transformating to those things. I've not changed my lifestyle. I'm still in the same old rut of getting up in the morning, doing the same old things as to my characteristics that I've always done. I haven't really changed. I haven't really gone on with these things. I haven't really developed a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. I really don't have a vision. I really failed to get it. And then to your sorrow, it's going to tear you into pieces. But nevertheless, that's the way it is, folks, you know. I just do what little I can up here, and I try to demand your attention as much as I can while I'm bringing a few fragmental things concerning the knowledge of God, which is the greatest, most wonderful thing that's ever been given from the foundation of the world. There is nothing else. I challenge anybody in the world, anybody at Bethlehem. I challenge anybody on any level of life to come face me, stand up in my audience, or prove to me that they have anything, just one thing, that has any equality of these things that we're saying. There is no such thing. My words are spirit and they are life. These are the things that we need to live eternally. He sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and resurrected them. He sent his word, he created them. And it's still his word to 1,000 generations today that's trying to get over to you to bring you the abundance of life, because he said, I am the Prince of Life. Well, let's stand together as they come back to the music. Usually don't hold you very long. I talk to you a little and I try to feel your spirit out to see just how far you're going and just how hungry you are. And I try just to feed you a little bit as I see that you're hungry. And beyond that, I try not to bother you. Because every person is a sovereignty and we're not a lord over God's heritage. We're trying to be an example. Though a poor one, we're still trying to be an example and to let you do whatever you feel to do, so that we don't impose upon you anything that you really don't want or don't desire. Let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. No charge. Let him without money come. No charge. Let's sing this little chorus, I love him. Can we sing that together? You know, it is stated in the scriptures that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you do not keep his commandments, then you do not love him. Whereas one would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm saved by faith and I believe. I'm a believer. But the Bible says, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my believing by what I do. For the child is known by his doings. So his believing is shown by his doings. If you do nothing favorably to God, if you do nothing for your fellow man, then you do nothing for God. For inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. If you haven't done it unto them, you haven't done it unto me. And I will say, in that day I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. And they will say, and when saw we eat like this and did not minister unto you? And he will say, inasmuch as you did it not to the least of these, my brethren, you did it not unto me. Let's sing together, can we? I love him. I love him. Oh, because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing it again now. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Oh, because that you first loved me and you purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise
every bird, every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Oh, every promise in the book, it is thine. For every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book is mine. Oh, every promise in God's book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. And the Bible says that God has given us all things that pertain unto life through the great and mighty promises that he hath given us within this book. The great and the mighty promises contains the wonderful love of God, the healing of God, the salvation of God, the prosperity of God, and godliness is profitable for this world and the world to come. For God said, even in this world, he says in his word, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, Paul said, and the others said. And when it comes to your needs, he not only said he would do that, but he said, if you would delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. My blessing shall make you rich and add no sorrow. It is the Lord thy God that giveth you the power to get wealth. This wonderful wealth and riches without sorrow. You can have riches in the world, but the Bible said it's few days and full of sorrow. It's vanity, vanity of vanities. But when you receive the wealth of God, God will bless you in this world and the world to come. His word brings faith. His faith brings everything that your heart could wish for. So then we come together to worship God and just to see what the Lord has for us. Well, let's sing this little chorus together, Brother Taylor. Come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down a road of sin. Trouble in my soul, I was carrying a heavy load, looking for the day it would end. But an old-time preacher came calling one day from the Bible. He read a few words. Now I can say that I'm happy every day. I came a little closer to the Lord. Oh, come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to my Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your day will brighten when you come a little one more time. I came a little closer, just a little closer, and I got a little closer to the Lord. And my heavy load did lighten, and my days did brighten when I got a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to my Lord. and your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. Can we lift our hands together? Love the Lord. The Bible says, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the Bible said, in the latter days, they will turn away from the faith. You know, to do that, they have to turn away from the word. They're getting all kind of translations in the world, and they're changing the original word of God, and they're losing faith. And faith is what we have to have to be translated into the kingdom of God. And to be translated by faith, that means that you have to have the right understanding, because faith cometh by the understanding of the word. If you do not have the right word, you cannot have the right understanding. Therefore, you cannot have faith. You cannot have the translation. So then, let's have faith in God. The Bible said, have faith in God. Let's have faith in God. Let's sing this little chorus together that we sing so often, Brother Taylor. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Can you sing it with me? Let us give Him glory, all ye people. Oh, His blood that's washed away every stain. Sing it again now. So we will praise Him. Can you lift your hand? Can you lift your hands? Can you close your eyes? The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Do you have breath? Then you're indebted to praise the Lord. Lift your hands, close your eyes, and let's praise Him as we examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith about Christ. Washed away. One more time together. So I will praise Him.